Juanita, and this is It Starts Now, the podcast that celebrates grown folk joy, bold conversations, and living your best life after 50. Join me, your host, Juanita, as I talk real talk about life, wellness, relationships, style, and everything in between. Always with laughter, zero politics. You can catch us now on BBS Radio TV, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Your best life, it starts now. Well, welcome back to It Starts Now. We are the show where we try to do zero politics, although sometimes I have to insert a little political drama in my show. So I'm so glad that you joined us today. We have a really good show, and it's a really good, interesting show for right now, and I tell you why. So we're joined by Michelle Campbell. She is the founder of the nonprofit Hashtag Stability and the author of a powerful new memoir, Blueberg, a memoir of trauma, heartbreak, and divine beauty and struggle. And the reason why I say that this is probably the best time to have Michelle. First of all, welcome Michelle to the podcast. But I really love her story. And I'm saying all of this because we're dealing with financial instability right now. We have a government shutdown that is historic. We have people who are on food assistance and they're not getting that food assistance. We have people who cannot go to their job, but they cannot afford to go to their job, but they're asked to work for no money. So all of this, the financial instability, and I really want to get her take on this because I was a part of that financial instability during COVID, where I had to literally shut my business down because I was not getting any money. And I went through my savings. I went through everything for a year. We were not allowed to put our hands on anyone's faces. I couldn't media groom anyone. I couldn't see anyone. And it was kind of hard for me too. So I want Michelle to talk about how early financial decisions shaped her future and the barriers that kept so many people trapped in certain economic cycles. So Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Juanita. Thank you so much for having me. This is a good conversation to be having now with what's going on with pretty much everybody. Everybody's affected.
Exactly. And I want to know your take on this. Like, I got questions that I sent to you, but I always go off script. But what is your take on all this? Like, how do you think Americans, especially, and I'm going to throw that out there, Black Americans are going to deal with coming out of this?
So honestly, just the optimism that I work very hard to carry every day, I think we're all going to be okay.
But
you know, when we talk about the things that are going on now, especially those that are, like you said, food unstable, housing unstable, job unstable, it's hard to exactly know. And so I remember, you know, it sounds so simple, but it's just back to the basics. And some of the things that we put so much importance on and we think that we can't live without, you actually can. And you can, in your own way, still live a good, decent life just on your level or on what your new level has to be just to remain secure.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you said, you know, go back to simple things or things that we think that we can't live without. Oh, I can't live without my wine. I can't live without my martini and French fry. Cook the martinis at home and make your own margarita at home. I don't understand how people get to that level, Michelle, where they're literally saying that they can't live with certain things and they hadn't had it before. Okay, you got it now. You're used to having it. But if you have to give it up, you got to give it up.
Right.
I mean, you got to give it up.
Exactly. I mean, and I've been there and I still I stopped saying that I'm healed and that, you know, now I just say I'm still healing because I still have to check myself on some of those things. And what I found in the past or throughout my journey is it starts somewhere that again seems so simple, but no one ever thinks about. It starts with self, and everything is ultimately connected. Your spending and your way of life and the way that you like to live and the things that you want and that you desire are all connected to something that is mental and emotional within you. And once you can identify what that is, that automatically will, it should change your spending, but at the very least, it will make you have to check it. And so, I mean, I do that constantly. I mean, I do it every time I'm about to spend money because I have to connect with why am I spending this money? Is this really important for me to spend? And what am I hoping to get out of spending this money?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you said that. And I'm going to talk about your book Bluebird, which I love the title. But I'm so glad you said that because I literally went someplace the other day. I went to an event and my friends, I won't call them out, but they were spending money on this purse, these purses and stuff like and buying this jacket and whatever. And I sat there and I looked at it and I'm like, "Oh, all that glitters is not gold." Because as soon as I get home, I'm going to be like, "Why did I buy this? What purpose was it for me to spend $100 on something that I really did not need?" And so that is my check. My check is when I look at it, I'm going, do I really need that in my life? That is that going to change anything? Like, am I going to be able to use what I bought and literally have like some type of income that comes from it? And the answer was no. The only thing that I found that I liked was the fact that it was cute on me. But I mean, shit, I got stuff that's cute on me on, in the closet. So I'm so glad you said this because we need to really check what we're spending our money on and stop. Just stop buying stuff that's designer because you have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I'm at that age now. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to Goodwill. I'm going to buy something and I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. And I love Bluebird because I was reading some excerpts on it. And one of the things that, it's such a powerful title. And what does it represent to you in the context of this journey, of your journey?
Sure. So Bluebird is directly connected to just my individuality and being different and kind of feeling like a lone wolf my entire life. I didn't see it then, but I totally agree with it now. And I'm like, that's fine. And I'm me and I'm okay. And I'm secure in who I am. But, growing up, I was always just this outcast and the odd person out. And my mom doesn't even remember it. But when she took me to college, she said, I went to a predominantly white university. I was the only African American female my first year, and then there was another one that came on campus. But that didn't bother me. But as I was moving in, I said, "How come it seems like everybody's staring at me?" I didn't know why everybody was staring at me. I mean, hints that I've never realized that I've been like this outcast. And she said, "When you look out the window sometimes and you see a bird, you don't really pay much attention to it, but the day that you see a bluebird, you pay a little bit more attention to it, not because you don't like it, but because it's unusual and not something that you see all the time. You're the bluebird." And when I thought about that, I was like, I've been the bluebird my whole life, and I still am.
Oh my God. And that is so profound that you said that because a bluebird represents so much. And there's a bluebird that comes in my yard and I look for him to make sure he comes and gets fed. So that's, because you're a bluebird. I love that.
And so the story just talks about, the different parts of my life and how I felt like a lone wolf. And going back a little bit, like to just the money and how it's connected to our mental and emotional health, I did not realize. Well, today I always tell everybody there is an event that happened in your life at some point that defines who you are internally, and it is directly connected to your relationship with money and how you spend money. And so my event was the first day of preschool, 4-year-old little girl that could not make a friend. I then later in life as an adult realized that every time that I got in trouble with money, every time I was in debt, every time I was spending more than I had, robbing Peter to pay Paul, it was all for that acceptance and sense of belonging that I didn't get back when I was this little preschooler. And so that's what I constantly still today have to check myself on. Like, am I doing this for acceptance? Am I doing this to fit in? Or is this something that I really need to be spending money on?
And in your book, you write candidly about trauma and heartbreak. And, how did you face those? How did you overcome that?
So I overcame it just by trying to find the purpose. I am forever someone that I think, I love math and I like facts. And so I am forever someone that is trying to connect the pieces, put the puzzle together, because I know that everything works together. Somehow it does. So when I sat down to think about, how did I get here at my absolute rock bottom? How did I get here? And I started, making lists and timelines. Then I was able to see the purpose behind each circumstance. And that's what gave me then, almost like this light bulb went off to, oh my gosh, I have to tell this story because I know that I'm not the only one. I mean, whenever we're dealing with trauma or crisis, stress, any of it, we isolate and we don't talk to anybody. We feel very alone from that. It causes depression, on and on. But I knew that I couldn't have been the only one once I had like this big light bulb go off for me. I mean, for me, it was like, oh my gosh, how come I never realized this? But it was really just sitting down and trying to find the purpose behind everything. And from that, then I realized that, oh wow, like I was supposed to go through all this because this is exactly what I'm supposed to do on this earth. I'm supposed to help other people through this. And I wouldn't be able to relate. I would be ignorant to the topic or even to the life, to the circumstances, if I hadn't experienced it.
So for my listeners who don't fully understand the term financial illiteracy, what does that mean?
So, financial literacy to me has two parts. And the first part we never talk about. Whenever you hear somebody say, talk about financial literacy or illiteracy, automatically someone is probably thinking about the technical side, which is, investing, retirement, things like that. And I'm not even talking about that part first. Yes, you do need to be literate in that part as well. But the very first part that you need to become literate in is all personal based, which we all can do. And so that is first checking yourself and just being honest with yourself, that moment of honesty that I'm in trouble, or maybe I'm not in trouble, but I don't feel stable. If there was a tragedy tomorrow, I might go bankrupt or be in trouble. But that personal side, knowing what your credit scores are, I mean, we get three free ones every year that you need to know what it is. Inaccuracies can raise your score overnight. Getting on a budget. And I always say, whether you have $10,000 or $10 million, you need a budget because you need to know what's coming in and what's going out and what your absolutes are. And I know that a lot of people don't like the budget, it's hard, but at least if you have the numbers in your head or you've written them down at least once a month, then that kind of keeps you more on point than just swiping your card and not knowing if it's going to go through or knowing that not knowing how much is in your emergency fund or not even having an emergency fund. So that personal side is very important. And on that personal side is your relationship to money. You need to know why it is you spend money. What is it connected to? And this isn't just money. There's a personal side to whatever your crutch is. If it's weight, why do you eat or why do you not eat? If it is bad relationships, what is it that keeps attracting you to this same type of person? What is it in you that is being fed this toxicity from the other side of from this other person? So that personal side, it doesn't just have to do with money, but it's very important with money because we don't talk about our relationship with money ever. When have you ever heard that?
And you are what you attract. You're absolutely right. I mean, you keep thinking that you why you're spending money or why you're attracted, like you said, this person or why are you spending, why are you eating at that particular, why are you doing that? And that is so profound that you said that. because I don't, I swipe, and now you back in the day, I used to swipe and just be like, yeah, I don't care, it'll be there. Now I'm swiping and I'm like, can I get a receipt? And then I look at the receipt and I make sure that what's on the receipt is what I spent. And then I file it in a different, my little files thing, so I know what I spent for that particular month.
Whatever method you use, I mean, there's tons of methods out there now, but I mean, to first identify, like I said, your relationship with money when we're talking about being financially literate and knowing what's on your credit reports and getting a budget, those are the three things that everybody can relate to, that everybody can do no matter how much money you have. And, it's just start where you are. But that relationship with money is huge, because as soon as you pin that down, I can guarantee you'll stop spending money that you would have spent before. And then there's your savings, there's your money to help pay off debt, because you've connected that relationship with it.
Absolutely. So why do you think, or why do you believe, financial literacy isn't taught in schools?
Because, I mean, talking about money is faux pas. We don't talk about money. Nobody talks about, how much you make and how much debt you have. I mean, if I can guarantee, if you get a group of people together, everybody would claim that their credit's good and they're not in debt. Nobody admits those things.
Exactly. Oh, I got a credit score of 200. Yes.
Exactly. So, it's a faux pas. And, we're all products of our environment. If you don't have people in your immediate circle, whether it's family, friends, coworkers that are on the road to becoming financially literate or are, then you just don't know that language and you kind of just get left behind and it turns into this haves and have-nots. I definitely used to think that, like, where there's just some people that have money and they're always going to have money and they're never going to have any debt or any challenges. And then there's the rest of us where that's not true. I mean, if you've ever read The Millionaire Next Door, I mean, you don't need to make a lot to be a millionaire.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite books.
Mine
The Millionaire
too.
Next Door. I totally agree with that. I have a neighbor now. Well, not in my street, but I know of a neighbor now, and they passed away. No one knew that this guy was like a multimillionaire because, he was like had a hoarding situation, but he would not spend a lot of money. He drove an old car. He, you know, and then when he died, when he passed, he had all this money. And I'm just like, wow, okay. It's not always about, having the best car or having the biggest car or the loudest or whatever. It's all about making sure you are kept safe and secure financially.
But the topic is so faux pas. And, whenever you look up most things online regarding anything finance, the topics are just so complex. They're hard to understand. It's almost like they're speaking a different language. And I know that for me, when I first learned investing, I felt so stupid because I was thinking it's not that hard, actually. And you don't need a lot of money. Like, all my misconceptions got thrown out the window. And I was just thinking, I mean, how many other people are out there sitting there like me thinking, okay, well, I'm just never gonna own any stock or, have any investments and it is what it is. I'm just gonna work and always have a part-time job and a side hustle and we'll just, make it last and hope for the best. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. We all deserve to at least just feel stable, financially stable, because when you're not, then that breeds all kinds of other things that can cause illness. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize that stress and depression lead to high blood pressure and heart attacks and having strokes, and you can be really sick from those things.
And that and fi financial, being a financial poor or whatever can definitely cause that. Because I was going to ask you my next question before I started talking about hashtag stability. What is your advice for people right now that are going through this shutdown and they are going through all of their resources and they're going through all of their savings? And what do you tell people if someone came and they said, Michelle, I have all this savings or whatever, so I'm gonna have to dip into that now until I get back to work. What do you think I should start doing? What would you tell that person?
So first, just calm down and take a deep breath. Like, don't do anything, under duress or under any stress. I mean, because you'll probably end up regretting it. And then the next thing is to make a budget. Just make a budget on what you have. And if you have to go into savings, is your savings in the right place where it is getting you the best bang for your buck? Right now, you know, interest rates are horrible if you have a mortgage or you have property taxes, but they're awesome if you're trying to invest and earn money. Just if something as simple as a high yield savings account or a CD, which there hasn't, I mean, this is the first time, at least in my lifetime, that I know that CD terms have been, there are 3 month CD terms, 4 month, 6 month, even 12 month, where before the amount of time that you had to hold a CD, the term was always, you know, 18 months, 24 months. And so that means that you're going to be able to make money off of that money, more money than just sitting. First of all, I hope nobody has just thousands of dollars sitting just in a checking account earning nothing. But even just a regular savings account, like that's interest rate is 0.01%. It's not earning anything, where it can at least be earning more money sitting somewhere else if it needs to sit. But that budget is key. And then figuring out what you can do without in the meantime. I have a client. She's one of my favorite clients. And no one would know she's a millionaire. Just like said, you have a neighbor. And when we had in 2008, when we were going through that recession, she got scared. And first thing she did was she paid off all of her debt. And the second thing she did was she started living off of 10% of her income. And because she was able to do that through retirement, that's how she's a millionaire now. And I'm thinking 10%. Oh, my God. Wow. Like, what did you do? She's like, you know, well, you know, you eat beans and you eat rice. And I mean, you do what you got to do. And yes. And so, I mean, we know nothing lasts forever. This is not going to last forever. And so we're talking about temporary, small, short term adjustments that you can make to make sure that you're not going to be without housing. You're not going to be without food. We can't really do anything about jobs, but everybody knows something or that is good at something that if you had to make money off of it, you can. Hence all of these influencers today.
Yeah. Oh my God. Aren't they making like, I mean, millions of dollars, and they're like, what, 12? I mean, it's like, okay, you know, let me go back to 12 and then try to do the same thing that you're doing. I mean, they're literally making millions of dollars showing people how to unwrap a goddamn box. It's mind boggling.
I know.
It's mind boggling, but that is great advice.
Yeah. Just sit down first. And make your budget, make it on realistically, you know, what you absolutely have to have. I mean, there's nothing that we can do about a rent or a mortgage payment, but you know, you can call and negotiate. It doesn't hurt just to see. Yeah. And you may be able to get better terms, or you may be able to get a month excused, or you may be able to skip them. You know, like, you don't know until you call and you face it and you write it all down. And I mean, I know that grocery prices are high, but, you know, what is it that you can eat? I think that all of us have a favorite food that's actually really inexpensive, and it's probably not the healthiest, but if we had to live off of it, we could.
Yeah. I mean, I've lived off bologna sandwiches for a while. I mean, when I was going through bologna sandwiches and like you said, beans and rice. I mean, my mom was was strong with that. And she taught us about all of that. So, you know, you don't have to have a ribeye. I mean, God, you get some scrapple. I mean, I'm just saying, you don't have to have a ribeye all the time. I mean, I know you know, there's some people, I got to have my steak. Well, then get a cut that's not as expensive, or talk to the butcher and say, you know, hey, and then I've learned this from one of my rich friends. You talk to a butcher and you ask them, are there any scraps left over from the cut that you cut from the good stuff left over? Can I have that? Oh my God, it was good.
Right. And those will make really good stews. And I'm from the Midwest, so I grew up on casseroles. I can make a casserole out of anything. We don't need any special ingredients. You need, like, you know, a binder, a carb, and a vegetable, and if you can afford it, some meat.
Exactly. And if you can afford it, and if you can't, you can still make it good and put a little cornbread with it or some crackers, and you good.
Exactly.
I love that. So tell us about stability. Like, how did it get started, and what makes your approach different from other social media programs or social service programs?
Sure. So I started #stability in 2017 all by myself when I was still going through it. I mean, I was You know, in Bluebird, I talk about 5 evictions, 4 repossessions, 3 bankruptcies, and, you know, $500,000 in debt. No one knew. And apparently I didn't look like it because, you know, I had this face on like everything's okay, but everything wasn't. But I just, you know, going through those things in 2017, I want to say that was the year that, I mean, it was like they had that denied stamp on everything that I did. They, you know, denied healthcare, denied renegotiating the car loan, denied. And I just was like, I mean, so how is somebody supposed to get out of this when you do not meet the criteria that qualifies for other government assistance programs, you know? Right. And I mean, I remember going and applying for food stamps and denied. And they said, well, if you had a kid, like you would qualify. And I'm thinking, so you recommend that I bring a kid into this? that makes no sense to me. But I just decided, I was like, you know what? Giving back isn't just through ties, you know, it's through just, you know, acts of kindness, random acts of kindness. And I would just find random people. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of money, but whatever I had would be able to help them more than, you know, helping me. I'm thinking, you know, this $5 ain't going to get me anything, but they need help buying their groceries. So, you know, right. This $5. So I just started it on my own, finding random people. And I decided that one day when I was back on my feet that I was going to, you know, just do it on a larger scale because I felt that it was so unfair that, you know, if you don't have children and if you're a married couple or if you're not a certain age and you're not a veteran and you're not sick and you don't have any disabilities, that there's really not much out there for you. And that's the majority of us.
Wow.
That's the majority of us. I mean, even married couples, you know, and I'm just like, and even single mothers that make too much. That was my mom. She couldn't qualify for anything when I was growing up. And I'm just like, that's unfair. And actually, it would be more beneficial to not just help these people, but teach these people so that they can be feel financially stable forever. To be able to help with one rent payment or one utility payment or groceries for a couple months really is not helping. If you think about it, because they're going to be back at square one because there was no knowledge or education put into it. So I just, you know, I took my own experience and I had no idea that my book would be published. And when it was, then I'm like, you know, this is kind of my green light to make #Taxability known and really go and teach people some things that I see as basics, and they kind of are basics, but that we kind of just skipped over because I don't remember learning budgeting and credit or any of that in school. I don't.
None of that. I mean, we learned none of that. Not how to write a check, not how to, you know, I mean, I knew, I remember, you know, the mathematics, like you were saying, but we, you know, the budgeting, you know, the food versus this versus entertainment. We didn't learn that in school.
Right. So, I mean, I just felt that it was something that we need in this world. And so we are helping with all sides, but it's mainly just a big learning pod where we're not only maybe going to be able to help you financially, you know, in a major crisis, like I'm working on that, but now I have a board of directors and it's not all about what Michelle wants anymore. that's probably good. Because I'm like, you know, I'm like, let's open up housing now, but you know, there's zoning and insurance and things that you have to have. And, you know, like my mind didn't think like that. I'm like, there's people on the street today.
Yeah.
So, but really what I wanted to do was really just teach. And it's helping people connect to that personal side. So finding out what your relationship with money is and then helping you with the budget and your credit. And then after you have that part stable, then teaching you the technical side, all the different types of investments, the different instruments, and what that means for you. A lot of people don't like it when I say that, you know, investing, there's investing that isn't risky, but there is when we're talking about interest. Yeah. I mean, even if you made less interest than you made before, you're not losing any money. So I'm not always talking about, buying stocks or ETFs and things that go up and down. So depending on your tolerance for the type of investment and the money that you're trying to build, I want to teach that. And all of our services are free. Eventually, we will have a grant where we are assisting people that are in crisis situation. But like I said, we with this board, I've learned a lot just doing that in myself. And I even it's funny in the learning process because there were some things that I was doing when I was doing it by myself that are actually illegal. I didn't know that you couldn't just give people food. I didn't know you couldn't just give people food. I'm like, why? But you
Oh,
have to be licensed.
really?
Yes, because if somebody gets sick or something,
Ouch.
then you can get sued, like you can get in a lot of trouble.
I had no idea. I randomly do that. I give food, I give moonshine, hashtag. I give stuff all the time, but I was not aware of that. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know either. So, like all those bananas and apples that I used to pass out, like I could have gotten arrested.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, who would have thought? Who would have thought? But
Well, so what do you know, I love everything about your host. Oh, why did it stop? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, I don't know why it stopped. I have no idea. I'm gonna keep going. So
Did he get
what
disconnected?
I
Oh no,
don't
this says three people.
Yeah, he's still there. Okay, I don't know why that recording stopped. Maybe it's the Zoom. The last thing I wanted to do ask you is that what do you hope that the readers will take away from Bloomberg? Like, what do you want people to know about Bloomberg and where we can get this book?
Sure. So I just want people to know that you're not alone. And that every situation has a purpose. Everything that you go through is purpose for you to go through that. And there is a lesson to your next step on the other side. You really just have to sit with yourself. I constantly talk about everything that we have today tells you to take a moment for mindfulness. I have a Fitbit and a water bottle that tell me that tons of times a days, and I don't listen, but just sitting with yourself and thinking about your situation, really thinking about it. And thinking about the past and everything that you went through in the past and how it got you to where you are, that has a story behind it that will help. And I just don't want anybody to feel alone because, like I said, we don't talk about finances openly. I would like to start a whole movement, Me Too movement of, so what's your credit score? Like, we should be asking friends and girlfriends and stuff that when we go out to lunch, we should be, just in support and to have a community because if everybody's credit score is bad, then, you all can help each other. And if someone has a higher score than the others, then they would be able to teach and coach you to get to where you'd like to be. But I don't want anybody to feel alone. I have decided that my brand is just present day transparency, which has been a little bit harder than writing about the past. Because it is, in current day, what is going on with me. But that's how much I don't want anybody to feel alone. I never want anybody to think, oh, okay, so she wrote this memoir. This was from years ago. And these are things that she went through and she got through and she conquered. And now her life is all, rainbows and butterflies. It's not. Things still go down. Not those things anymore, but things still happen. So,
Exactly. And where can we get your book from? Where can someone find your book?
So Bluebird is sold everywhere books are sold. The main outlets are Barnes and Noble and Amazon, and then my publisher, which is Mascot Books.
Okay. I love that. And there was other question and I found out that my director sent me a message. So we're gold. We were still recording. It was just Zoom or whatever. But one of the things that I did want to close on is, and I love your talk about helping each other financially and being more open about talking about your credit score. Have you gone through bankruptcy? Oh, you haven't. Well, I may have to. What do you suggest? Can you help me determine if I need to do this? What about refinancing? What about my car? What about if I try to get a high-end CD, should I just be my money? I love that. I love that idea that we need to be more open about that.
Yeah, I mean, we're all going through it. And I
Exactly.
mean, when I filed bankruptcy, I did it 3 times, but it's kind of embarrassing now, but my attorney did not want me to file bankruptcy because I didn't have enough debt to justify a bankruptcy. I did it to keep a car. And because I kept defaulting, I had to refile. And I kept defaulting because the car kept breaking down and I drove for a living. So it was, do I fix the car so that I can drive, so that I can make money, so that I can pay this car payment? Or do I pay this bankruptcy payment and then the car's broken and I can't make any more money? You know, which one came first?
Right.
What was I supposed to do?
Right.
And at that point, like, I didn't know another way to be able to keep a car. I couldn't get another car. But so, you know, I wouldn't feel embarrassed about being in debt and about having to file for bankruptcy and being evicted or having your house foreclosed. Those are things that happen. It's just people don't talk about them.
Exactly. They and it's happening every day.
Yes,
And
yes.
people are having a smile on their face and acting like nothing is going on. And then all of a sudden you realize that all of that is happening in everyone in people's lives. And I'm not going to just say certain people, a lot of people are going through this.
Right. And like I said, it makes you isolate. It causes depression
Yeah.
because you're in debt or because you're underwater about something that you don't feel comfortable talking about. And it does take a lot of courage to be honest enough to not to be honest with people and to not feel that shame and embarrassment. But I recently just said, shame and embarrassment, we don't own that. That's not an emotion that you assign to yourself. Somebody else gave that to you. Somebody else said, you should be ashamed from having to file bankruptcy, or you should be embarrassed that you're in debt. But who says? Like, they said
Yeah.
that you didn't assign that to yourself. So
Exactly.
I know it's hard, but to dismiss that shame and embarrassment and, you know, just swallow your pride, it takes a lot. But that's the biggest step that you can take, because after you're no longer ashamed and embarrassed and, you know, having regrets, then the depression lifts and the isolation lifts, and you start feeling better about the situation just by talking about it. I mean, that's why therapy is so important. I know that there's a lot of people that don't like therapy, but the people that are fans of therapists, it's because it's nice to be able to go and just have this person that is not judging you and that just listens, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And you know, just get it off of your chest, to be able
Right.
to get it out of your spirit and be able to voice it openly.
Yeah, because the more it festers, the more you're internalizing all of that, the more that is putting pressure on your stress, your heart. And then next thing heaven forbid, but you're going to be in a hospital because you're just so stressed out that you probably had a heart event. So I appreciate you actually saying that. And Michelle Campbell is the founder of the nonprofit hashtag Stability and the author of The Most Powerful. And I'm going to throw this out there. I wasn't able to read the book because I didn't have it. I just read excerpts. But you telling me about the bankruptcy, I am so proud of you. And I just met you. But I'm so proud that you did that and you brought that to light so people can realize that you should not feel shame about going through what you're going through. You should not feel shame.
Right. I mean, it's assigned by somebody else. And like I said, it's not an emotion that we assign to ourselves. And once I realized that, even today, things that I go through, and you know, even if somebody may turn their nose up or say something negative about it, like, I'm thinking, I mean, that's how they think about it, but I don't have to own that and accept that. Like, I think that there's a lot of power in having the courage to, first of all, just turn off the noise, dismiss the noise from, you know, everybody that's around you pointing the finger and being so judgmental, because honestly, they're probably in a worse situation than you. And
Absolutely.
that negativity that they're trying to put on you is actually for them covering up, you know, with them not being true to themselves about what they're going through. So you can't just listen to people and what they have to say. You got to run your own race, live your own life, and walk your own path, and just not be embarrassed about the path, because it all leads somewhere. I mean, it blew my mind when I thought about everything that I went gone through was actually purposed to get me to where I am today. And I would not want to repeat it. I would not wish it on my worst enemy, but I love that I was able to figure that out.
Right. And it was a lesson learned.
Right.
It was a lesson learned. Michelle Campbell, thank you so much for being my guest today. You have been an inspiration to me and an inspiration to, I know, a lot of listeners that are out there. And thanks for tuning in to It Starts Now, where real stories spark real change. And I am your host, Juanita, and I'm reminding you to keep learning, keep growing, and remember, your power starts now. Now, before I let you go, you want to be a sponsor? Yeah, you'd want to be a sponsor of this show. You know this show is good. It only costs $55 per show. You can email me at thebeautyfiles2@gmail.com or facejobmedia.com. So you can catch every episode on BBS Radio, Spotify, Amazon Music, CastBox, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And I have another outro that happens after this. So, Doug, take it away. Thank you so much. That's a wrap for today on It Starts Now. Catch us on BBS Radio TV and all your streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, CastBox, and more. Want to keep the conversation going? Hit that subscribe button and share this episode with your crew. And you got a brand or business that you want to promote? Let us team up. Email me at thebeautyfiles2@gmail.com or facejobmedia.com. Your best life, it starts now. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.